All right, and we're live. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of The Market Made Easy with the Maxwell Group at Bloomtree Realty. And today, we're here with Kevin. Kevin's here to talk to us about SBA loans. Mm-hmm. He came a long way.
Yes,
and we appreciate that so very much.
Yes, yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome. I came from Kingman, Arizona.
So nice. let's jump in right there. You know, we found you in Kingman. And we're in Prescott. That's not a secret. why did you have to drive all the way to Kingman to talk to us about SBA loans today?
Well, actually, I travel throughout the state. I work for State Bank of Arizona, which is a division of, or Mojave State Bank and Country Bank are a division of State Bank of Arizona. I am the SBA lender for State Bank of Arizona. Travel pretty much anywhere I'm needed.
Okay, so there's not a whole lot of you.
There is not. There is not.
That are in this business.
No. Okay. It's kind of a specialty. There's a lot of rules and regulations that you have to understand, and that's why I specialize in it.
Great. Well, let's dive right in. Tell them, what is an SBA loan, and why would someone need it?
And what is SBA?
Yeah,
what does that stand for?
Okay. Give us the rundown. Okay. Educate us and educate everyone else here, because I think it's an interesting topic.
Well, first off, SBA stands for Small Business Administration. Small Business Administration, I actually have was started in 1953 by the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. It was started in order to help the small businesses.
Okay.
You've got two different types of loans, which in the commercial world, and it's commercial conventional financing and SBA.
Okay.
There's also USDA, but we won't get into that one right now. But SBA is basically to help the small businesses, the borrowers that can't typically get conventional financing, whether they need a longer amortization to increase their cash flow or they have less cash injection. The rule of thumb is the SBA can allow for 10% cash injection. But, you know, it could fluctuate based on the project.
Okay.
You know, it really depends on the borrower, what kind of cash flow, what type of business. It does vary.
So can you give us some examples of some businesses that would really fit more in the SBA category versus the big conventional category? So what's a few examples of that?
Owner-occupied real estate.
Okay.
If you've got a small business that is purchasing a building that they're going to occupy more than 50%, that's kind of a typical SBA loan. Conventional side, usually you need 25% to 30%. SBA only does lending for owner-occupied buildings.
Okay.
So like a small startup restaurant would be a good example of that?
Startups are beautiful examples. SBA also allows for financing on business acquisitions. So if there's no real estate involved, if it's all intangible assets, if somebody's buying a restaurant and bar, we can finance on intangible assets, the value of the business.
Okay.
That's one of the things that we can do.
Okay. So like, for instance, in this town, we have a lot of business general, especially downtown, where you have a historical property where you have a business, like an accountant wants to, see clients in the front, and then they're occupying the building in the back, like there's a place to stay. Is that something that when people are looking at buildings like that, that have that special zoning, is that something that SBA would look at? Is that a good example of something that would work?
I believe so. I mean, as long as the business is occupying more than 50%, you have to keep in mind on new construction, if somebody's looking at building a building, that 51% actually jumps to 60%.
On
new construction, they have to occupy at least 60%.
Okay, so they could find a plot of land, they have a specific floor plan they want to build downtown, and they could apply for a loan to get to get that building built as long as they have 60% occupancy.
Correct.
That's interesting. Correct. Okay.
So and you see a lot of like three space retail buildings that have been built, especially in the last couple of years. So they would have to do at least two of those.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Essentially.
As long as they're occupying 60% of the square feet, then
we're good.
It should be good.
Okay. Hmm.
But you do have to keep in mind that if they're building new construction, the SBA will not lend on the tenant improvements on the other 40%. So that would have to be either negotiated in their lease or, you know, if you have another small business coming into there, we can also lend on tenant improvements.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say... you know, they come into your, well, do you have like a location? You're really located in Kingman, but you go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can meet you at branches all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
Mojave and Country are the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can come into your establishment, Country Bank or Mojave, or I think it's Mojave's, they're transitioning to Mojave. Is that right?
Well, it's actually, we're all going to eventually transition to State Bank of Arizona.
Because, State Bank. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. All right.
We just opened we're getting ready to open an office in Phoenix. So
okay.
Country Bank wouldn't necessarily work in Phoenix. Mojave State Bank wouldn't work in Yavapai. So we're going to keep it the same right now. State Bank of Arizona, Mojave and Country are a division of State Bank of Arizona. But I think the plan is to eventually transition into State Bank of Arizona.
Hmm. Okay. So they walk in and they have this grand idea and they want to build this amazing project. And they go, we would like $3 million to build this project. What do you tell them?
Well, I would have to know a little more about the business.
Okay.
If it's a startup, we're going to need a business plan, projections. We usually need at least 3 years projections. The first year is month to month, and then the last 2 years are annualized.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of startups, I like to refer them to SBDC or
What's
SCORE.
That mean?
SBDC is the Small Business Development Center.
Okay.
They have that out here in, I believe, over at the Yavapai College.
Wow, okay.
And it's all free. It's all financed through the government.
Mm-hmm.
So that's free to borrowers. SCORE also is a good resource.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're basically the same thing. So I always like to have them meet with them because having a good business plan and good projections will help us determine whether, you know, the business is going to be successful.
Okay, so they go do those things. They put together a very comprehensive business plan, 3 years. They come in and they go, we really want to do this. And so then you say, okay, check. How much money do they have to come in with?
Right. I mean, it really depends on the project.
If
it's new construction, some projects, if it's going to be a specialized, if they're looking at opening a movie theater or something, you know, that's a specialized property. That's a property that can only operate as a movie theater or bowling alley or, you know, something of that sort. So sometimes those require a little more cash injection, maybe 15-20%.
Okay.
But that's because it's a little riskier because if, you know, that business were to fail, we have to sell it as a bowling alley or
a movie theater
or something like that. So those types of projects do sometimes require a little more cash injection.
Okay.
So, but the typical is, you know, we start out as minimum 10%, but the borrower has to understand there is that chance that we may require a little more depending on the risk.
Okay. And what kind of interest rate are they looking at when they're borrowing that kind of money?
Interest rates fluctuate. It depends on credit, cash flow. If it's a startup, it depends on risk. It usually is, we base it off of Wall Street Journal Prime, which
okay.
is, and it's usually Prime plus anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5, depending on the project. The max rate an SBA loan can be is Prime plus 275.
Okay. So on average, if let's say mom and pop wants to open up, I mean, like, for instance, a Gripstone just came in to Prescott, and they started an indoor climbing gym.
Mm-hmm.
On something like that, if they borrowed money, it could be, I mean, I'm thinking probably 5%. I'm throwing that out there, but I think I just want to try to give people an understanding of what they're really up against.
Prime, I think right now is 5.5.
Okay, so we're thinking 7, more like 7-ish. Okay. Yeah.
And the reason why SBA is a little higher in pricing is because of the risk.
Okay.
So if they were to come in, if they were to come in with 25%, then it could go conventionally.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, SBA has a rule where it's a credit elsewhere test. Hmm. So if they can get conventionally financed, then we're gonna push them that way because that's where you're gonna get the better rate. That's where you're gonna get the better, you know, it's not necessarily better terms, but mm-hmm. you know, you've got a 20-year amortization. But we have to determine that conventional is not an option before we go SBA.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that's the reason why the interest rates are a little higher, because there is that risk. They either are tight on cash flow or they need that less cash injection. Mm-hmm. So the interest rates do go a little higher.
What happens when there's multiple investors? How does that work?
That's fine. We just need to get, it depends on their percentage of ownership too. Typically it's 20% or more. We have to get tax returns and personal financial statements on all the guarantors. We can do it. If there's several guarantors, it's doable. We just need to get their information and their ownership percentage.
Okay, so that isn't a deal breaker. It's just everybody has to make sure they
like
give the info.
Any other situation,
right.
Just like as long as the numbers make sense and got to get the documentation necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like on a conventional loan, if they've got more than 20% ownership, we're going to have to get their information as well.
Okay.
Mm, interesting. Okay. Well. Are there any federally mandated limits on SBA financing?
The maximum SBA loan you can do is $5 million.
Okay.
Because the max guarantee for per borrower is $3,750,000. There are two different types of SBA loans. There's the SBA 7A, and then there's the SBA 504. 7A is you have one loan, and that's through the bank, and then the SBA comes in and guarantees. What some people don't understand is the SBA does not actually lend any money. It's the bank that actually loans the money. The SBA just comes in and backs it up to 85%, depending on the loan amount. On the 504 loans, there's three different parties. There's the bank, or four different parties. There's the bank. There's the CDC, which is the 504 portion. That's the government loan. And then you've got the borrower and then the SBA. So that you will actually have two different loans. You'll have 50%, which will be the bank. Bank will finance 50%. The CDC can go up to 40%. And then the borrower will come in with
10%. 10%, right.
The benefit to the 504 is the CDC can actually fix an interest rate for 25 years. It used to be 20, but they just increased it to 25 years. Mm-hmm. So you can get actually 40% of your loan fixed for 25 years.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then the 50% portion of the loan is actually it's basically a conventional loan with the bank. So you'll have, every 3 to 5 years, you're going to have, a balloon, not necessarily a balloon, but a maturity.
A maturity, okay.
Or a rate adjustment at that time.
What is that based off of? Do you know?
Usually we do a 25-year amortization on that, and then we'll either do a rate adjust at 5 years or we'll fix it at 5 years, and then we'll just reanalyze everything after that 5 years. Mm-hmm. But if the CDC is doing a 10-year term, then we usually set it at the 10-year term with a 5-year rate adjust, because we can't go less than that term that the CDC has.
Oh.
So it's very similar to like an FHA type loan if we were looking at residential real estate, where it's backed by these government agencies, but the bank is lending on it, with the exception of it's kind of always a variable rate. To an extent.
On the 7A's, yes. The interest rate typically is variable. It's very rare that we'll do a fixed 7A loan.
Okay.
Just due to the risk. But typically, they're usually a quarterly rate adjust on those.
Okay.
How does the credit score, do they check do you guys check credit scores of their personal credit scores, or how does that work? How does credit come into play?
We do check credit. We also check character. And that's one of the things that, you know, we have to check the credit, make sure that they pay their bills on time. Mm-hmm. We usually like to see a credit score above 680. Because you're under 680 doesn't necessarily mean you're declined. There's ways to explain that if it's a medical collection that just slipped through the cracks, mm-hmm. or something. As long as we can explain why the FICO was lower than the 680, then we can always kind of work around it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, character and credit are a big thing.
So let's say that you have a partnership or you have multiple people. Is it everybody cumulatively, or is it everyone in there needs to have 680?
We look at the overall picture.
Okay.
If somebody has less than good credit, then we just need to figure out why.
Okay. Interesting.
One thing that you need to keep into consideration is if you've walked away from federal debt, that's pretty much an automatic decline.
Okay.
So if you've had an SBA loan in the past and it was defaulted on, then you cannot get permanent.
Not again.
No. The government doesn't give second chances.
IRS debts, right? and things like that are probably...
Student loans are
frowned upon.
Ooh, student loans. Yeah, that's important.
Student loans are federally backed, so...
Good to know. Mm-hmm. What about time frames for how long it takes from the beginning of the process till the end? If somebody's applying for this kind of loan, what is the time frame to actually close on something like this?
That'll be determined by the borrower. We've closed loans as fast as 60 to 90 days. Wow. That's upon getting a complete package. There are several SBA loan documents that you need to fill out. Mm-hmm. It determines how fast the borrower will get us back the information.
Okay, so you kind of have a packet that everyone has to fill out, go through the steps, kind of like as you're applying for a normal residential loan, but probably with a few more hoops, mm-hmm. to jump through.
Yeah, and I have a checklist I usually provide with the borrower, as well as, you know, all the documentation that we'll need. Having the SBA or the business plan and projections in place, you know, mm-hmm. that's a big deal because that's very time consuming. So mm-hmm. I usually say 60 to 90 days after we get a complete package.
Hmm. Interesting.
So when there's real estate involved in this loan process, because that's a separate, closing process, how does that dance look on your end? So say somebody's borrowing, they're using an SBA loan, and part of the funds that they're borrowing are to purchase purchase a building, mm-hmm. which has its own escrow set up and its own time frames. How does that dance look?
It's basically the same. I always say 60 to 90 days because we'll get the project, we'll pre-underwrite it to make sure it's a workable project. Okay. And then while we're underwriting, we usually have the appraisal in process. So commercial appraisals are running from, 10 to 15, typically 15 to 20 business days to get completed. So once the appraisal is done and we've had it reviewed and everything, then we've got our underwriting complete. We're ready to go. So we'll add that aspect into our loan presentation and then submit it for approval.
All right.
So we'll get it submitted for approval, get it approved through the bank. Once we get it approved through the bank, then we get it approved through the SBA.
Awesome.
So
it's less complicated sounding than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it does sound like it's less complicated. I think that from we're mostly in resident. I do some commercial, but we're mostly in residential real estate. And one of the things that we always are being conscious of is an appraisal, mm-hmm. and making sure that the purchase price of a building is in line with the comps. And with commercial specifically, I think that can get a little hairy because you have to sometimes use the income approach. Mm-hmm. And so do you know, have you seen appraisals? I haven't seen an appraisal not come in at value on commercial lately, but has there been any war stories you've seen that have come in that the appraisal came in too low for the purchase price?
I have seen a commercial appraisal come in less than the purchase price. The problem with that one, it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. and the comps were very difficult to get. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it worked out. I mean, not necessarily for the borrower, but, you know, you don't want to overpay for something that the value is not there.
Right.
But we have started to see that some appraisals are coming in less than the purchase price, but that's something the seller will have to determine whether they want to come down or if the borrower wants to come in with extra cash.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, from our standpoint, you know, I think it's really important that when you are thinking about purchasing a commercial building, that, that you get an income approach, set of comps, looking at other commercial buildings and what they're getting price per square and what their rents look like, so that you can, you know, ahead of time kind of already know whether it's a good purchase price. Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
Yeah. And typically the commercial appraisals we are ordering come with the income approach, cost approach, and mm-hmm. sales approach. So, mm-hmm. and then they take those three and kind of combine them into one value.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Cool. Any other fun tidbits that you can give us? Any battle stories? You know, what's the weirdest one you've had to do in a while?
You know, I started out in commercial conventional financing in 2006.
Okay.
And
great time to be in the lending business.
I know. I got in at the worst time.
Two solid years followed by the bottom just falling out.
Right.
Completely.
But it was a good learning experience because, you know, I got into it at the worst time. I saw the market crash and... You know, I
made it through.
Right. And I'm still doing what I'm doing. But I did get into SBA lending. I started learning in, I think, around 2016. I started underwriting a few SBA loans and learning the SBA process and have been going through a lot of training. But I've been doing it full time since 2017.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I haven't seen a whole lot of weird ones, but... you know, every deal is different. Mm-hmm. They're all learning process. You know, the fun ones are the intangible assets ones. I mean, the real estates are pretty straightforward, but when you've got somebody that's buying a business that, you know, only has $100,000 worth of collateral, but they're borrowing $1 million, you know, those are fun. We can go out and get business appraisals, which are completely different from real estate appraisals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, that's fun. And watching businesses succeed. Mm-hmm. I had one client that bought out another, business and they've tripled their revenue since buying that business. They doubled the value of their company and it worked out beautifully for them.
That's tremendous.
It's just fun watching the businesses mm-hmm. succeed.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any info on any increases in the amount of applications for SBA? Has that really increased over the last few years? Do you see a dip in it? Do you have an idea of where we are with those?
I think it's increasing. When I first got into banking, you know, on the conventional side, working in conventional, you'd hear SBA and you just kind of ran. It was just... SBA was just very difficult at the time to get things through and get processed, and I think that's where they got their bad rep. But it's become very, very well. It's become a very well-oiled machine.
Okay.
People are borrowing more, and people are starting to understand the benefits. And you know, one of the great positives about SBA loans is it's fully amortized debt. So. Once you close that loan, you provide us financials once a year. It's fully amortized for 25 years, or if you're buying intangible assets, the max you can do is 10 years if there's no real estate involved. They're fully amortized. You don't have that 3-5 year maturities. You don't have to pay renewal fees. You don't have to get it reappraised. It's fully amortized. You just provide your annual financials once a year and
so it seems
make
really
your
simple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems pretty simple process to mm-hmm. to go that route. Well, I think it's a great product, and I think that our viewers who are thinking about opening up a business in 2019 would want to know more information. So, how can they get a hold of you?
My email is kschleeter, kschleeter at statebankaz.com. Let me double check that because we just changed our
No, email. I'll have everything in the in the description as well.
statebankaz.com. My cell phone number, which I have on me pretty much all the time, is 928-377-9993. And my office is 928-753-0000.
And they can just call up Country Bank or any of these banks and wherever they are, and they can schedule it to meet with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
I come to Prescott quite a bit, probably twice a month. We're actually looking at possibly relocating here. So, yeah.
All right. Well, hope you move here. I know. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin. Appreciate your time today. And thank you guys for watching. And we're going to take a little break with the holidays coming up. We'll be back with our next episode. I believe it is on January the 8th. So happy holidays to everybody. Until next time, I'm Kellen Hoskins. This is Carissa Maxwell. And have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you soon.